Welcome back to the show of shows.
The Digital Tavern.
Digital Tavern. Champions come, champions go, but the Digital Tavern is always here, drunk and naked in your yard.
As we want to be?
We do.
I don't do this voluntarily.
I have a gun to his head at all times.
Yeah, pretty much guaranteed.
Yeah, it's a 410. It won't miss.
So, it's kind of interesting because this is going to start off our season. We started off with an episode zero.
Yes.
And this is going to be the first
episode
of the season.
Episode one.
And what this episode is going to entail is actually a game that we've all played.
Yes.
And we actually decided that we're going to also bring on a guest for our first season episode. It is our first guest that will be calling from across the country. So we're going to hopefully this has no technical difficulties. But if you've been a listen to us in the past, you know that's not possible.
Yeah.
This is going to have
this
problems.
This is the 10th iteration of this episode, guys.
Probably. Maybe even the 11th, the 12th, but definitely not the 13th.
No, we skipped that one completely.
And do you prefer that we call you by your first name, John, or do you prefer by your online alias, Moshi?
We might as well go with Moshira.
Okay.
Pleasure to meet everybody. Pleasure to be here.
All right. And what game are we playing today? Well, what game did we play already?
Yes.
We played Fable Anniversary.
So,
one of my favorite games.
So, as by Fable Anniversary, you're talking about the remake from the original Fable.
Right, right. The Fable Lost Chapter. So, it would be the remake of that game.
Got it. So, we had all delved in previously when it first came out, I'm assuming, yes? So,
right.
my first time that I played it was back in 2006, I believe, is when the game came. No, 2004. 2004. When did you play it, Kevin?
I played it first a few weeks ago.
So you
when I got it on Steam. So it was my first time playing Fable.
Ah, got it. So that's what it was. You've never played Fable before.
I've never played it before. But everyone has talked about it for years, and I'm like, oh, I want it, but it never came out on a computer, and now it's on Steam.
There you
so
go.
So for the episode, I bought it and played it.
Well, that's kind of nice that you got to get a first-hand experience.
Yes.
And so the game, Fable, this game was mostly chosen by Moshiro.
Yes.
Do you mind if I call you Moshi for short?
That's perfectly fine.
Got it. Feel free to interject yourself in any
anytime.
Of the time. Anytime.
I interrupt all the time.
Kevin is probably the most notorious for this, and we prefer it that way, actually. So it's not like we're shunning him for it.
Yes. They do.
So I can't
get
take the...
No, go ahead.
I can't take the lead for that. I can't be the...
If you're
one
talking,
for interject-
if you're talking and someone else starts talking, just keep fucking talking.
Yeah, you talk over each other.
Yeah. We'll make sure that we make it tolerable.
But if you reach your hand in Dan's pants and my hand is already there, you have to wait.
No, let's be real, though. That's a really long hand.
Yeah, it is.
You're right. He's not big enough for two hands.
He isn't.
Hey.
It's hard enough for two fingers.
No, it's not hard yet.
Oh, I thought it was.
So there's probably listeners out there who don't know what Fable is, which surprises me because it was...
How do you not know what Fable is?
Right. So even though Kevin's never played it, he probably knew what it
I
was.
I knew. Absolutely knew.
Yeah. So Fable kind of took the RPG world on console and just kickstarted
it. Blew it up.
Yeah. They absolutely made it feel like you were in control.
Yeah.
Which was unique
the
Fable series.
I'd say it'd probably be the first true Western RPG, maybe. Like the one of the best ones. Kind of like how Final Fantasy VII revolutionized RPGs for Japan and even the Western market. I'd say that Fable probably did that for the Western market in general.
I could agree with that. Fable does feel like a Westernized RPG.
Yes. Yep. I can agree. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Ironically, it was made by... I know Britain is technically Western,
mm-hmm.
but it was made by a British company called Lion's Head.
I love Lion's Head.
Mm-hmm.
So we can go into Lion's Head Studio a little bit later. I would like to talk mostly about the game right now because Lion's Head in itself has some few interesting things to bring up.
Yep.
They're
dead.
Well, wait, a spoiler alert.
What's not a spoiler?
Whoa.
It's not a spoiler.
I suppose it would be a good time before we kick it off into the game, before we kick off into the discussion, we're going to warn you that there is... going to be some spoilers. We probably will talk about something later on in the game. So if you have any issues with spoilers, we recommend
you hit pause right now, play the game to the fullest, get all the 300 hours out of it, and then come back and
or
listen.
If you like putting car batteries to your nipples, you can just continue listening.
That's fun. Ooh. Too.
All right, so let's kick it off with the intro intro music, and then we'll come back in and we'll start talking about the game. And we're back.
Welcome back.
Heyo.
So Fable. Fable is an RPG game that came out originally for the Xbox console. If you remember the Xbox, it was the game console that was the first console that Microsoft had launched. And it had the biggest fucking controllers that you could ever imagine.
So massive.
Big and meaty for my big meaty hands.
I have big hands, and I looked at that controller and I was like, what in the fuck are they thinking? That was the very first thing that I had noticed when I had looked at the Xbox. And that was actually a time where I had the PlayStation 1 and the GameCube, I believe, already
at
this point. Such
a slim controller group right there.
Correct. So you look at the GameCube, tiny.
Like bricks.
Yep, tiny controllers. And then PlayStation, they had such a near-perfect controller design that they just kept rolling with the same design throughout, you know, 20 years.
Yeah, they're still running it. And I love it. One of my favorites.
Yeah, they're still running the same design.
Yep. I mean, they've made, obviously, little modifications. But the biggest thing that, like I said, you notice about that Xbox is that how big that fucking controller was. And they actually had to release, like, 10 different versions to finally get it correct. Like, I don't know what their fucking goal was. So, like, they had, like...
To be different.
If you look at their controller, it literally had a massive logo on the front of it that looked like it was there just because. Because they didn't know what to do with the other four fucking inches. Right, the other 4 fucking inches that they actually had left over in plastic. They're like, let's just slam a big fucking logo on it. So that was the biggest thing that I remember about the Xbox originally. Obviously, there were other games in this era like Halo 2 and other games like Rainbow Six. But
you ever play that Blinky game with the... Cat with the vacuum. That was a
Blinky game.
Gym right there.
With the vacuum.
I do not know that.
You're not talking about like Luigi's Mansion, are you?
No, it was some weird little platformer with this cat who goes through time or something like that with a vacuum.
Was it a purple cat?
It's a strange... No, I think you figured it was a raccoon game. Man, I can't remember some of these things. It was, let me find it.
Yeah, you're good.
It was some kind of like silly game.
Yeah, no, I don't think I ever remember that one. Was it a platforming game?
It was called Blinks, the Time Chamber, and it was about this orange little cat who had this weird looking saxophone vacuum cleaner that sucks stuff up or whatever, and then it's like a platformer, so you'd run around and kind of like Banjo-Kazooie in a way.
Okay.
Because that was like the age of platformers at the time, I think.
Yeah, that was pretty much, I was never a huge platform gamer. So, like, you can tell what platforming has developed into. It's developed into, like, roguelike simulators, you know, complete hardcore death ends all type gameplay. Start over from the beginning because you died.
Yep.
I was never a huge platformer gamer. I actually dislike the genre even today. There are very few platformers that I actually appreciate. Other than that... I was playing mostly shooters during this era, so it was kind of a nice breath fresh of air to get a good RPG thrown into the mix.
Right.
I'd be willing to bet Fable was a game that was so well received because of how well timed it was.
It was an Xbox exclusive?
Yep.
That's why I never played it.
That was probably why initially, yeah. It was mostly tied to the Xbox game console, and then... up until recently, the PC. And that's because early on, so 2 years after Fable had launched, that was the whole studio was bought out by Microsoft.
And they loved ruin things.
Generally, big companies that pull in smaller companies and become the umbrella for them, they do usually ruin it regardless of what company it is. You look at time and time again, every merge that's happened, nearly all of them will fall through to some degree. At least even a little bit.
Did Lionhead Studios merge with somebody during their Fable series?
Actually, they Lionhead originally bought, I think it was Blue Hole Studios. No, Blue Box Studios, I think it was, that was originally working on Fable, and they bought out that company, and then they merged with them. And then that's originally what happened.
Is that why it went downhill?
No, I actually think it's actually a unfortunate disaster of what happened actually during the economy crash of 9/11. So it was poor timing because they were originally the studio that developed Black and White, which was
such a good game.
I absolutely fucking love that game.
Oh, I love that game. Oh, we've all played it here then.
Oh yeah. And it was a game where you were a god. You were literally a god, and you controlled the god's hand, and you would have to influence a simulated world of villagers.
Yeah.
And you would have to influence them in ways a god would influence them, like giving them food or
making them pregnant,
gathering trees for them so that way
smacking them when they're bad,
showing them miracles of
setting
water,
fire to the villagers.
Yes,
yeah, well,
having
yeah,
a so creature eat them.
What it was beautiful about
oh, yeah, the giant creatures.
What was beautiful about Lion's Head is they knew that you had to have evil to have good.
Yeah,
and they showed that in all of their games. Black and White was a good example. In order to be a good god, you had to show them some terrible things once in a while, so that way your good things would reflect that much better. And then Fable took that in and said, well, we're going to put you in a world where you're given the option of doing something really nice or doing something really shitty. And they
like
let you.
On a child.
They let you go there. So yes, there were emotes in the game where you could genuinely just let it rip on any child if you really wanted to.
I remember it's hilarious that it's worse to divorce someone. It's more evil to divorce someone than outright murder them. That's hilarious in Fable.
Yep,
I think you get like -600 points for divorcing, and then it's like what maybe. 100 or so. I don't know the exact number, but for murder, it's nowhere near that.
So as far as the point system that you're talking about, I'm assuming you're talking about the good and evil system that Fable has implemented, where as you do good acts, you gain basically fame or good deed, essentially. And as you get doing more and more of those deeds, your character may visually reflect that. Like you even may have a visual halo above your head and people can just look at you and be like, wow, he's a very saint-like person.
He's a good guy.
Right.
Your hair grows white.
Your hair grows white. You know, you have the halo. And then as you do more evil things, you grow horns and you look
darker.
Yeah, and
your face starts getting uglier.
And your face becomes scarred in dark gray ash. So, like, even the world is affected by the decisions that you make, because if you were to walk into a town with just demonic horns, everyone is like, oh, my God,
he's a bad boy.
You're afraid of him.
Yep.
Stay away from my daughter.
And the game immediately puts you in that mood. It sets the tone real quickly. So, like, you're in this RPG world where you have a character that you level up and get stronger, but also make these moral decisions on whether good and bad is the appropriate cause. So right at the beginning, the game will put you in a situation where you have to do some good deeds, and you do kind of have the option for each of the good deeds to not do the good deed. And it shows,
and it'll egg you on too.
Right. And it'll show you, it'll be like, hey, just because you didn't do the good deed doesn't mean you won't get rewarded. You will most certainly get rewarded for it. And it likes to flaunt that over and over again.
Either way you go, there's a toy. Then we
even
like
the kid when you're supposed to be watching over the boxes while this farmer goes pee, he eggs you on. He's like telling you to break the boxes. He won't miss anything or anything like that.
Yep, I wanted to.
You're just
going to
stand there like a lemon.
He was annoying. Like you get thrown into that right away. People pressuring you to do good and evil.
You want to start kicking kids right when you start playing the game.
I did.
I don't know if that's like their Oh, you did? Oh, okay. So it definitely encourages that.
Yeah, it encourages bad things. Then bad things happen. And it's fun. We like bad things.
With
lots and lots.
With that, early on in the game, you have this choice where there's this cheating spouse. The wife is complaining to you, saying, well, she's residing in you, saying she's tired of, you know, doing all the homework, or not the homework, the housework, all the chores, all the straight cleaning and whatnot. And her husband never comes home for dinner, and she's sick of it. And then you go and find out, right, that he's cheating on her.
And I've busted his ass.
So what I like about the game is what you can do here. So you go find him. You find him behind a house, you know, getting a little fresh with someone else. And then he's like, I'll give you money if you don't tell anybody.
Yep.
And you're like, sure, I won't tell anybody, pal. And then he gives you the money, and then you go tell on him anyway. Yep. And you double benefit from the whole situation.
Two rewards.
Yes. And it's kind of funny, too, because what happens is because you did the bad deed, the guard likes to warn you. He's like, hey, kid, don't do shit like that, basically.
Yep.
And it was funny because when I did it, and I went to go tell the wife, and the wife ran up to the place where they're, you know,
hanging out
in the back of the house to yell at her husband. And she's just having this really grotesque conversation, you know, yelling at him, saying what the heck, you know, all that jazz. And then the guard comes up to me. He's like, you did a bad deed. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Look behind me. I made it right.
Yep. A good and a bad cancel each other out.
In fact, I would argue twice. That taking the money from him and still telling her is even the amplified better deed.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because he's now poor.
Definitely agree.
And lost his wife.
Yeah.
So it's a double whammy.
The system does take it as an evil deed and then a good deed. So it balances out.
I mean, if he's going to have to pay alimony to her, he might as well give me some too.
Yep. <you know? laughs>
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Got to get your cut. It's all about your cut. Mm-hmm. And then a little bit later, you're basically having to guard these boxes that one of the watchmen were supposed to watch, but he had literally is like, I have to go take a shit. And then he's
Poops
like,
is good.
Yeah. And so he leaves, and then he's like, watch these boxes. And he leaves. And then there's this little kid, like, I mean, younger than you. He's like, do it. Break them.
Do it.
Just do it. Do it, you pussy.
He was a mean little kid.
Like, what the hell? This little kid, even littler than you, keep in mind you're a kid right now.
Yep.
He's like, do it. That's a part of the fun that Fable will give you, right? You mean you can walk around and kick chickens in a village for all you want. I've done that for hours.
Hours?
Hi, chicken chaser.
Yeah.
You chase chickens.
Yeah.
And then, the title system for that was really fun.
Yep, so there is a title system. Was that in the original Fable? Right.
Yeah, I believe so. They're right outside of the guild after the after you grow, you know, and do your training. The tutorial. There's a guy outside selling titles, and there's all kinds of different ones, like assassin, reaper, you know, the higher end titles. All the edgy people got as a kid. The funnier ones are like something like Chicken Chaser or, you know, R Space. R Space was one of my favorites because if you stood around somewhere, they'd be like, look at him, hero of all heroes, R Space.
R Space. And for those of you who don't.
Goes with R Space.
And those of you who don't speak Britannese, that's ass for in yeah. Britain. That's ass.
Ass face.
But the game has very heavily Britain accented character voiceovers.
Not well.
And it wasn't super good.
Hilarious. No.
They are super fun. Yes.
I wish I could do them well because they see me. I honestly think they exaggerated them on purpose.
I think so too. You can tell.
Oh, it's gonna suck if they weren't exaggerated and this is like an actual like dialect that people kind of speak in.
And we're just laying
into these poor nationality.
They probably are. You know, they couldn't afford high paid English actors, so they got the ones with the Cockney accent, and they can't understand.
And they like throw a humor spin on it, and make it look like it's worth it.
And then when we're done with you, you can go back to your coal mines and die of asphyxiation and all this other stuff.
Holy shit! I mean, if they had canaries and, you know, canary in a coal mine and whatnot.
They got them dead ones in this mine. They didn't even come alive.
Oh.
They just nailed them to the perch.
So,
oh,
geez. The aside from the voices, you can tell that they put a huge spin on humor during the whole thing. Hence, you know, the little kid egging you on, basically calling you a pussy.
Yep. The guy that lost his magic mushroom.
Yep. So those type of things literally are throughout the entire game. And then there are also what's so crazy about this game is the reason why I favored it so much is because of they were able to also spin in serious moments. Like, and because they have this choice system, they let you choose how you want to dictate that serious moment. So
you
could have done it for the laughs every single time, but then they'll throw this serious moment at you and you're like, uh-oh, how do I want to respond?
Yeah.
Do I stick with my character's persona or do I stick with my actual real life morals?
And then you make sure to fart on whatever serious choice and then you proceed.
So I have a story. It's going to reveal the ending of the game, but it's not. It's something that's not super funny when you talk about it because you'd have to actually experience the game to kind of appreciate the story more so. But at a base level, I'll still tell it. So I remember going through the game entirely to completion and then the last choice you're given, okay? So you're introduced to your character's sister early on in the game. She later on becomes blind.
Aww.
So she's blind and you're trying to help her in every way you can. Right? And there's a part where she has been entrapped by the boss. And the boss has this choice where you can either kick her into the black hole and kill her or save her. And
old Jack of Blades.
They entice you to kick her in. And it literally says like what you'll get from it and what you won't, what you won't get for not kicking her into the hole or what black hole or whatever. And
I believe that was the sword, right?
Yes, the sword.
The Avon Tyr or something like that?
Yep, you got the legendary sword or whatever. And
yeah.
I'm not going to lie, I decided to save her. You know, I took the high road because my character's persona was completely good and I decided to stick with it. But it was funny because I didn't tell anyone of the ending, and all of my group of friends were kind of playing through the game at their own pace. And then I remember going over to my friend's house. His name was Jordan. And Jordan was also surprisingly doing a pretty clean playthrough. You know, he would make the occasional slip up from the good decisions.
Yeah.
But he would usually weigh his options and immediately be like, okay, well, this is the drawbacks. And he'd kind of take the whatever is more profitable for his character. And I was like, I already knew the ending of the game, and I knew he was approaching it. So I was like, yeah, I'll watch you. Back before Twitch TV, you'd go over to your friend's house and watch them play a video game, right?
Take turns. You
had friends?
Yeah, I had friends.
Some people did.
This is a made-up friend, and I don't even know anyone named Jordan. So
it's a split personality.
Oh, that's what I should have done. Damn.
So anyway,
made my own friend.
I go over to his house and I'm watching him play and he's coming up to the ending where he is finally at the choice. He literally doesn't hesitate and immediately kicks her into the thing. Like I have never seen someone make a decision so quickly. He was like, but you can literally just envision him reading this, what's going on. He's like, okay. And then kick her into the black hole or save her or kick her into the black hole. And he's like, what the fuck?
They didn't even tell him what he's going to get.
He didn't even care. He just went for it. It was just the fastest.
That was kind of a lot like me. I did the same thing. I played through that good playthrough, and then when presented with that choice, I was like, I'm going to need that sword now.
Yeah.
And then I grew horns very quickly after that.
So the reason why that story isn't super funny to other people like that as much as it is to me is because if you were there with all the nuances of how he was treating the game up until that moment – and how he would consider him weigh in his options. And then immediately when he's proposed with saving his sister or killing her, without hesitation, he immediately is like, kill her. He just had a stone cold murderous face. I didn't sleep very well that night. I thought he was going to murder me without having any feelings.
Like, bye, Dan. It was nice knowing you.
Yeah, he'd find out that I had a couple bucks in my pocket. And he's like, oh, more than I had yesterday.
Got to get rid of this body, but no biggie. I got a backyard and a shovel. What is going on right now?
I marked it.
That's what they did after the game.
That's gonna be edited in post.
Darn.
Blech. We can say whatever we want right now because it's gonna be edited in post.
Penis. We can say whatever, anything at all.
Yeah, it's all
anything at all.
Anything.
I really just want to grab your butt, Dan. I don't think the listeners at home have any idea.
All right. So
wait, you're editing this out, right?
Keep saying it though, because then he's got to edit a lot.
No, stop. another thing that was really cool about the game is that how much customization was in it. We mentioned earlier horns and the halo. So that was like not even a customization. It kind of was, right?
You got to choose it, but it just happened depending on your choices.
Right. So games in this era didn't offer too much customization because they were more focused on gameplay elements and making the game look visually appealing, because 3D modeling was still
new-ish.
Rough around the edges. And
definitely.
So the customizations was pretty cool because you got to even choose like your tattoos.
Just interrupt him if you have to. It's okay.
Yeah, I feel like 3D modeling was pretty like harder back then, because if you notice how fat your character's feet and their weapons their hands and things like that were compared to the rest of their body. Like, it honestly looked like my character had a Lego sword that was just 10 times the size of the character. It was hilarious. I don't know if that's like the style they were going for, if that was just the early stages of 3D modeling, like you were saying.
I literally had a moment where I had to stop and pause the game because I was laughing, because when your kid is like the young kid, he has these pair of gloves on that are like basically gloves for Andre the Giant. And when there's this part where he is, you know, this guy, this protagonist is like, come, I will save you. Grab my hand. And his hand is a normal sized hand. But then your like 8-year old self reaches out with Andre the Giant gloves and just touches his hand, which for whatever reason, your kids' hands are 6 times bigger than the adult size hands on the other side of the scenario there.
Yep.
I was so I had to pause the game and I literally audibly laughed for like 2 minutes. And because of that, because I remembered how silly throughout the entire game everything is exaggerated between feet, head, and gloves. Because some of the hands were normal sized, but the gloves were abnormally sized every single time.
Like, how do you pick somebody's pocket when your finger is bigger than the pocket hole?
Yeah, right. You'd be like trying to reach in with this gigantic like salami hand and like a salami finger.
Yep.
And they'd look down and they'd be like, "Why do I have a salami log in my hand in my pocket?"
It's a lot like trying to stuff your CD player into your pocket.
Yes.
Back in the day when you used to try to, you didn't have no iPod or anything, you had to shove your CD player in your pocket if you wanted to carry it around and listen.
You're talking about the portable CD players.
Yep. Yeah. Unless you had JNCOs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
JNCOs would fit it easily.
Yeah. Oh my God. I know, right? You had to have JNCOs for that kind of thing.
Fuck yeah.
I was the unlucky.
Back to the character creation. It wasn't just tattoos. It was also like hairstyles and beards. They actually had, you know, a decent amount of options for those. Yep. And based on what you upgrade throughout the game, like physique and stuff like that, your character got a hell of a lot bulkier.
Bulkier.
Until you were like the freaking Hulkbuster
or
something like
Which was really cool because it was basically all made by decisions that you made in game, and your character reflected that. And it showed kind of like a character aging throughout the game. And it was a really cool feeling. And I thought they captured the idea of what, you know, even the word fable meant. I felt like they captured that word in their game.
Right. I don't know if it how this went, but apparently if you played through the game long enough, your character would age too.
Yes.
And you were saying that like the age affected. Apparently you had to buy a hip replacement at one point. I don't know if that's actually true, but your character actually gets so old to the point where they're like skin and bone, and then you're like, you're actually like lethargic. Like, you can't really swing very well or whatnot.
So you got to count on magic, or does your magic impotent
I think
too?
I think your magic improves with your wisdom.
Right, right. The longer you age, like, your magic gets... I think that's true. And then, like, you could sacrifice people to some kind of cult down the line. And then, like, I guess you could, like, get your youth back or something like that, which was...
So it might have been the point of having children then, so you could sacrifice them to the cult and be young forever?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Fountain of Youth.
Stay younger. That's I think that's kind of where I ended up with the game, because I started good, and then... They offered me that sister choice, and then I took the sword real quick, and then it just went downhill from there.
Dark side.
The magic that they gave me.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. Yep.
The game that so the game, one thing, like I said, we've been praising the game on its ability to make decisions, because a lot of RPGs never really delve down into that. I mean, you had Neverwinter Nights that, you know, you could make your decisions and your gameplay would affect it, but never to like
I've never had the chance to play that.
Neverwinter Nights. You can get them cheap on Steam.
Is Neverwinter Nights the one where it's like a 3D hack and slash, kind of similar to like Dynasty Warriors?
No, that's
99 Nights or something like that.
Yeah,
Neverwinter Nights is more similar to Divinity 2 meets
Gauntlet.
Gauntlet.
Yeah. Diablo.
Or Diablo. Yep. So Divinity 2 meets Diablo. So I'd probably say that would be a good idea. It uses the Roll20 D&D system. All of your actions use and roll a dice to determine its success or failure. And then it's all live. So it happens as you do it. So searching things and all that.
Isn't it in Forgotten Realms?
Yes, it is placed in Forgotten Realms.
Okay.
Yep, Neverwinter Nights is in Forgotten Realms. Hmm. Now, that being said, the game, like I said, the decision-making was praised, but now I would like to praise it on its mystery or its ability to make an area exciting or its ability to make the world feel like it has secrets. Fable.
Oh, there was lots of secrets with those demon doors.
Yes, Fable did good job with demon doors. I mean, open world chests. They made you work for things that you knew you could visually work for, but you didn't know of any idea what it was, because you couldn't just simply Google something and then be like, "Well, this is what this is."
Yeah, not
this not box.
And here. Those demon doors, they'd give you those riddles. They weren't like super like, "Hey, this is what you got to do." No, they were like, they tried to keep it pretty cryptic.
Yeah.
When you wanted to get those goodies, and it was hard.
Where nowadays, sometimes, if you're posed with a riddle inside of a video game, you're going straight to your phone, you're typing it into the phone, figuring out the answer, and then going in. That literally offers no stimulation to your brain.
Exploration out.
It takes the idea of mystery and exploration right out of the game. And
yeah.
I do try to make a point not to Google those types of things in games that I'm playing nowadays, because I do like the ability to kind of rack my brain once in a while. With that, those demon doors, there was also chests that had like a number on them that you could find out throughout the world, and you needed a certain amount of keys to open up that chest. And usually those chests had really cool items, and sometimes the chests were in the open, and then sometimes they were just completely hidden, and you would find legendary items like new hammers, new swords, new bows, just the type of fun stuff that you would be excited to find in the world.
Is every playthrough's chest the same loot?
I do believe yes, because they did pace the game at a specific sense. They didn't want you to just randomly find a legendary item early on in the game. And it did require certain builds.
Yeah, they didn't have randomization back then, I don't think. They didn't procedurally generate loot or anything like that.
I don't know you're right. I think games weren't really procedurally generated at this point. I mean, that's kind of
also,
why Diablo was super
the drops
popular.
From the bad guys are, though. I mean, they've got a list of things that can possibly drop.
And then it compiles through the list and randomizes that.
Well, that's chance-based, isn't it?
Like, that's more of a chance loot system versus procedurally generated.
Right. I would say they could have had that in the chests, though, too. Because they had it in that.
You're right. So you're talking about a randomized loot table for the chests.
Yeah.
Got it. No, they didn't do that. It was a pretty set thing. So what was also kind of nice with that set loot is that you could have a conversation with your buddy who's also playing through the game. Be like, "Oh, did you get the chest outside of Oakdale yet?" And he's like, no, dude, I didn't. What's in it? And you'd be like, I'm not telling you, but it's real good.
It's a girdle of girly body parts.
So that aspect of that game is something I did like versus, you know, oh, good luck. Hopefully you get something good from it, you know?
Yeah. So before we go on, did you guys only play Fable, or did you also finish Fable of the Lost Chapters, the expansion?
I finished Lost Chapters.
I only played the Lost Chapters.
Yep.
Okay, good, because I didn't actually play the like original Fable. I played Lost Chapters, so I played through the whole, their whole, you know,
I've played through every single Fable to date, and unfortunately, I think it's going to be all of them. I don't think there will be another Halo. Or not Halo, sadly. Another Fable.
It seems like they kind of went down going. I mean, like, not that, like, I don't think Fable 2 was a bad game. I think it was one of better than the first, but it definitely moved away from the first. And then the third followed suit, and then it moved further away from what Fable, I think, was. Well, and I think that's, I honestly think a lot of people are feeling like that, but.
I have a lot of praises about Fable 3. I really liked the shop system where you could buy shops in town to generate money.
I take that back.
You could do that one in the first one, couldn't you?
I don't know.
You could,
I don't think that
you could. I know you could buy property.
I don't know if you could do that.
Well, you could buy property and rent them. I don't know if you could buy shops, though. But I know you could abuse the shopkeepers, though.
Yeah.
So if you were to, for example, buy out all of a shopkeeper's inventory, they would start to panic, and then you could sell it back to them for more money than it what you originally bought it for, and then just keep doing that over and over again. That was by far one of the most.
I vaguely remember that.
That's
actually
pretty neat. So they just never run out of money, and now you have an endless supply.
Exactly. I think you could also, another thing is you could pretty much kill an entire town and then rent out the property. and then
we got a timeshare.
Just buy all the property and then rent it out.
Well, this timeshare is going for 99% off because the whole village was recently slaughtered. There's no reason to look into it. Just come rent our property.
Yeah. Fresh red carpets.
Yeah, don't look into it. I swear, don't read the newspaper. Just come rent.
Yeah. Well, I own the newspaper, so we're putting that out of print.
You being definitely being the villain, if you do those kinds of things, I have to say the Jack of Blades is probably one of the best villains, both aesthetically and probably like story-wise too, that I've encountered in a long, long time.
To your opinion.
Yeah, I do believe the Jack of Blades.
Would you describe what his visual appearance?
Oh, he is like what I would consider a bandit leader mixed with an assassin. And he's got this amazing crimson cowl over his head with this masquerade, this beautiful, like, etched, jeweled, like, masquerade mask. And he wears chainmail, sort of like chainmail, for his, like, legs, like gauntlets and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of the most badass characters I've seen in a long, long time.
So
he has a few masks on his side too. Like if you were to wear like a chain wallet,
right. So that particular character, that character was someone that vibed with you when you were a kid, right?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So, I still red's my favorite color to this day.
So you could say that he kind of projected onto that character through his decisions or through his appearance.
His appearance more so than his decision. However,
good, because like I had the phone ready. I was going to dial 911.
Yeah, when he gave me the choice of, you know, getting rid of the sister, I took that sword real quick. And then, you know, when you beat the game, spoiler, obviously, when you beat the game, you know, you get the option to wear the mask. And I was always upset because, you know, back then they didn't have an option to wear the outfit, but you could wear the mask and then you would become Jack of Blades, basically, and you'd wear it. It would be stuck on you.
Yeah, you would be recognized as the Jack of Blades from then on.
And you can't get it off? Mm-hmm. No remove curse spell?
No, it wouldn't. You could not take it off at all. Like, you'd have to load before, you know, load the game before you put it on. Yeah, it was a curse. I think you heard him. I don't know if he made comments throughout the game after that. But yeah, it was. I was always upset you couldn't wear the outfit, and now they have it as DLC on Fable Anniversary.
So what if you were a Halo character? You didn't do any bad deeds, so you've got no horns, no ugly face, just glowy white, and then you killed your sister, took his face, and put it on.
You immediately dip so far down because of kicking and killing your sister is so goddamn garbage that you go straight from being literally the Pope to being the devil himself.
Damn.
Yep. Yeah. You're quite literally Satan at that point.
Yep.
So you drop.
I mean, keep in mind, the only thing worse than that would be just divorce someone once and then, you know, they're
according to Lionshead Studios, divorcing someone is worse than killing your blind, helpless sister.
Pretty much.
In cold blood, nonetheless.
Well, that is a message. I wonder how much whoever wanted that in the game paid to have that in the game.
Or if I think Peter Molyneux was going through some rough times.
You almost have to question his like mentality during that, because like do you ask yourself during the process of creating this game, was killing your blind sister a part of the whole thing? Like, was that the idea from the start, or did he get so lost in himself while developing the game that he decided that he's gonna want to kill his sister afterwards?
So did anyone Google does he have a blind sister?
I don't know any connection to any of the development teams.
Or a blind daughter or a blind female family member that he had to take care of.
Then he
and
would
was
be
super
projecting.
Frustrated of
and
it.
Then he would be projecting into the game.
Yes.
Oh, man.
And he's Catholic, so he can't divorce.
I like how you just declare him Catholic.
So that's why it's such a heavy price to divorce him.
Oh, no kidding.
And all the kids that you can have, and they're yours and stuck with them forever no matter what, and you're stuck with the lady because you married her. It's just Catholic. He's a Catholic. Google it. Bet you he is.
I think the only other way to not have the divorce penalty is to actually beat your wife in order to have her break the marriage with you. But I don't think it counts as divorce at that point.
Oh, nice. She's saving her life, and it's a good thing.
You just have to beat her to, you know, within an inch of her life, and then she'll just end the marriage without, like, a full divorce or anything. She won't tell anybody about it, you know.
Do you get any negative points
back in those days
beating her?
Well, yeah, of course. Not as much as divorcing, but, you know.
Is it as much as killing the neighbor kid?
Probably not. See, probably not.
I think a lot of beatings happen in Catholic families, too.
They were used to it. Do you remember how you decided to get Fable back in 2004, Moshiro?
I saw this big, bulky box. For Windows PC, you know, they had those huge, like, I think it was like, what, 8 discs or something like that. And I was like, well, that's got to be like a big game or something like that, right? So I don't remember where I bought it or anything. It, for all I know, could have been going to a Goodwill or something, and we saw it on the shelf or something, right?
Okay.
And just the box art and everything, just I was like, okay, what is this? So, you know, picked it up and. I would come home from school every day and just try and find everything I could and just play through the game. I'd do every side quest. And I'm not a big person who does, like, a ton of side quests. Like, you know.
I'm not.
But Fable really brought me into it. I would be picking up apples for someone to make a freaking apple pie or something.
Oh, I remember that.
Going through your little tutorial.
So the apple pie was the baker, by chance, named Tree Trunks?
Named what?
Tree Trunks and look like an elephant.
I don't know if I'm catching this reference.
No.
I don't think I'm getting it.
In Adventure Time, the cartoon, there's an elephant named Tree Trunks that bakes apples pies for the heroes.
Ah.
But it'd be kind of neat if they took that Tree Trunks character from Fable. So if they
So like the origination was
Fable.
Got it.
Ah, okay. I would go through I try to figure out the demon doors and whatnot. I had multiple playthroughs, I think.
Did you ever have a strategy guide for the game?
I don't believe so. I think I just wanted to explore everything on my own and just every little, you know, detail I could go through. And
yeah,
I played multiple playthroughs. I did, you know, the warrior playthrough. I did the mage, the rogue, you know, whatever I could. Mm-hmm. I tried to be sneaky at times and see what I could do. I'm not too sure how much of an impact the sneak mechanic had, but I just loved. There was so it had so many hours of playthrough too, because I just play through it over and over again.
So the fact that you were,
the choices you made were always different.
Yep. So the fact that you were willing to crouch and attack enemies even though it wasn't effective just kind of proves how immersed you were in the game.
Yep. It drew you in.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And that that back then, that was the magic that Fable had, which kind of sucks that we'll never see something similar again from the studio, because when this studio was going through, they were developing a few different games. They were going to developing a few different games, right? They had just purchased two companies that were developing, and Fable came out in 2004, which probably meant that they started working on the game probably in 2000, maybe even sooner.
Yeah, somewhere in there probably.
Then basically what happened was 9/11 happened, where, you know, I mean, we're not necessarily saying that Lionhead Studios was affected by the literal plane crash. They were affected by the economy that came from the plane crash. And then what ended up happening is that even though they had a game in Fable that came out in 2004, they still had it was a successful game, hyper successful, well critically acclaimed, got really good rewards, really good reviews. But they still struggled financially because of how many things that they did to get there and how many and what they had to do. And they're going through a financial crisis, and Microsoft was like, whoa, hold up. This Fable game is the fucking bee's knees. We can't let you guys go away. So they bought out the company. And what ended up happening is that they kind of kept the same speed going. They kind of let them do their own creativeness at first. But Microsoft was like contingent. They were like, listen, if we bought you, we bought you because of Fable. We didn't buy you because of Black and White. We bought you because of Fable. So we're going to need more
of
those.
Which they really should have.
Right.
Black and White was fantastic.
They made Black and White 2. I didn't play or familiarize myself too much with Black and White 2.
That's the one I played.
I played the original Black and White, mostly. But I did dabble into Black and White 2. But then Microsoft was like, we are going to need you to keep pumping out Fable. So if you could do another Fable, that'd be great. So then Fable 2 came, and then eventually Fable 3 was around. But what ended up happening in between Fable 2 to Fable 3, this is probably a little bit closer to what you were mentioning, Moshi, of how it kind of lost touch with the original Fable.
Right.
A lot of the devs left the studio in between, you know, between the Fable 2 times to Fable 3 times because of the creative restrictions that they felt that they were under. And they were all a group of pretty open creativity type of individuals. Because if you're going to get Fable, you need to be creative.
Yep.
Absolutely.
You can't have a
game. It was unlike any other.
Right. You can't have a game like Fable and not be creative. So what I could feel is, even though Microsoft was giving them the, you know, the go ahead for their, because they love Fable 1, they may not have been saying, hey, don't do that or don't do this. They may have just said, we want more like this. But even though that's creatively maybe what the devs wanted to do, it's still that, you know, that nuance that you get from not being able to exactly do what you want. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So even if they were mostly free to do what they needed, it was still that creative wall that they could potentially hit.
We want you to make a game similar, but you can't use the color red.
Right. Kind of like a restriction, not maybe not as black and white.
It's like putting a restriction on media.
Well, I mean, we just used a double entendre. Like, we literally said maybe not as a black and white decision, and Lionhead Studios also developed a game called Black and White. So it was a double meaning.
Right.
So go ahead.
It's like putting restrictions on Hideo Kojima, you know, for example.
And he was
not
like,
letting him create.
You put a restriction on Hideo Kojima, he was literally like, peace, I'm gone. See you later.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
Yep.
Like, Konami made a huge mistake trying to say, hey, no, you don't get to be you. We want you to be this. And he's like, okay, see ya.
Yeah.
Like, no hesitation.
Yeah. And now where are they?
Konami's basically a casino developer at this point. As far as I'm concerned.
Blinko.
Yeah.
What are those games they have there?
Tic-tac-toe.
I have no idea the name of them.
Gachapon?
They do a lot of slots, actually. A lot of Vegas slots, Konami does.
Yeah.
There
is hope for one thing about Fable, though, and it's I'm not sure if I'd call it a successor or not, but there is a game being developed that's still in early access called Kinseed, K-Y-N S-E-E-D. I don't know if it's two N's or not. But it is it being created by, I think, the original developers of Fable, the first Fable. It's kind of like a 2D.
Peter Molyneux? Molyneux part of it?
I'm not sure who's a part of it exactly. I just know that some people from that development team are working on it. And I guess the term would be spiritual successor to Fable.
Okay, like a light homage, basically.
Right. I think that's probably the term to use. It looks really promising.
I'll have to look into it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's like $15 on Steam. That'd be a good thing to look at if you're a fan of Fable.
A part of the new development team that was a part of Fable, they off-branch into a studio called 2 Point Studios, and they are making RPGs. They made a hospital simulator called 2 Point Hospital.
I've seen that.
It's actually kind of fun. I've played it. I was kind of surprised when I saw that 2 Point Studios was originally Lionhead Studios. I was like, aww.
You guys fell in the world a little bit.
I know. I was like, oh, move in the wrong direction.
Unless it gives them the money. Lionhead Studios comes back, they'd do pretty good in this era.
If they did what they're known for doing.
I mean, they can make, you know, a black and white.
Imagine a VR version of that.
Yep.
Oh, sorry. I just heard like music go off. I was a little taken back. Sorry.
We shocked you.
I wasn't sure what was going on.
Oh, yeah. Didn't you know I sent a rave to your house?
Yeah, they're in the yard right now.
Out your window.
Is it a naked rave?
No.
I mean,
oh, yeah, it's definitely a naked. I just looked out my window. It's a naked extra. Rave.
It's all my grandparents.
Why are they all old men?
We called the local nursing home.
Yeah.
They did it for
Oreo cookies.
They did it for a box of Oreo cookies and the answers to Bingo Night on Friday.
Yep.
Ooh.
Have fun with all that flaccid, flappy skin.
I hate to tell you, Kevin, but I actually paid for an entire truck of Viagra for them.
Oh boy, it's not going to be quite so flaccid. But you are going to get a new whitewash on the front of your house.
So now can you imagine a bunch of elderly men hopped up on Viagra raving in your front yard right now?
With no women, just the old men.
Isn't that Lemon Party? What's that website? Man, Lemon.
Oh, she doesn't have to.
Everyone listening at home should look up that lemonparty.org, I believe it was.
Oh.
I think that's the equivalent of the naked rave.
I heard that's the new presidential party that'll be running this year. It's a lot of good information on that website.
Make sure your parents are not home.
Wait, this podcast is 18 and older, right?
Yes.
Just making sure.
My daughter heard someone listening to it on the bus, though. Last season.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. I mean, it's the parents' choice.
That kid must be ecstatic that we have mentioned him twice now. So. He's just literally just like, whew,
the vapors.
So that really is realistically kind of concludes what we have to talk about Fable.
It isn't.
Really?
No.
Oh, yeah, we got to talk about the ratings.
Fable was the only game that almost got me to buy an Xbox back in the day.
The only game.
The only game. I didn't buy one, and I didn't play it. But I played the port, Lost Chapters for the computer,
right,
for a couple of hours because I can't turn the sensitivity down enough on the camera. So when I'm turning my character, it's like I could just touch it a little bit and I'm zooming a 360 almost, and that gets me motion sick.
Got it. Have you tried using a controller?
No, I don't use controllers.
Way better. The reason why is because you can tell on the PC port it's a simulated analog stick.
But I turn it down to zero. And it still turns like I'm on a fucking top.
I had to lower down my DPI on my mouse all the way down.
It's like a 0.1.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I just plugged in my controller. That's what it was meant for.
I don't
for.
Use controllers on
I agree. It was also meant for that. Fable had a good co-op system, too, that we didn't really go over.
I do have an Xbox 360 now, so maybe I'll have to pick it up.
It's worth it.
Just for that.
I mean, you could probably find it at Goodwill or online for a couple bucks.
I'm going to the Goodwill store for a video game. Or we got clothes and shoes if you need a job interview outfit. Not video games.
Or if you're going to court.
Yeah, look good for the judge so we don't throw you in jail for sleeping with your sister.
Oh, no.
Man, I'm getting really distracted by these old people in this rave.
In a good way or a bad way?
It's almost hypnotizing to just see to go back and sport the skin just, oh, all over the place, man. I think I might go join them in a second here.
Oh, is that what you'll be doing after we're
so
done
we,
here?
So we can accept.
Oh, absolutely.
Expect a naked Snapchat of you dancing with the old naked men.
If you're lucky.
Are they going to?
I don't like to dance with old naked people until.
I like my chances. So that being said, what we should talk about now is a little bit about the ratings that we're going to be bringing back. So we'll start off. We'll start off with camera. We kind of briefly just talked about it. I don't think it's fair to be able to rate it based on the computer version.
Well, I have to. It's the only version I know.
The anniversary version.
Yours will be an asterisk computer version.
Like negative whatever you can get. Low as it goes.
So, Kevin, on a scale of negative 10 to positive 10, what was the camera?
This is the worst camera I have ever played with. It is negative 10.
Negative 10. So, asterisk for your score. You played on a keyboard on the PC for a port game that was normally on an Xbox, which you didn't use a controller.
It's the
for.
Worst port I've ever played, too.
For camera.
For the camera.
Got it. So, we'll extend the question to you, Moshi. What do you feel like the camera is?
I don't remember the original on PC having a camera issue, but the anniversary did seem to, like, stutter for me. I'm not sure if that was just how it was or not, but where would be, like, the middle ground here? Maybe,
zero.
Like, not good, not bad, just a zero?
Zero is...
I'd say a zero is a solid. It didn't bother me. It didn't have any issues, but it was a little bit of a stutter, so it's not great.
I'm going to give it a positive 4.
You are always a little giving with your camera scores.
Well, I am, because I was raised with absolute shit camera in Sonic Adventure 2 Battle.
Oh.
Like, that camera was so hard to deal with. So, in other words, anything that comes up from that point, it's a bonus for me.
That's a good point.
So,
good point.
That being said, that kind of concludes our cameras. Now, why don't we talk about how many tankards out of 5 you would give this game? Let's start with Kevin again.
So, 4.2. It's higher than I probably should, because I couldn't play it for more than 5 minutes without trying to puke.
Right.
But it's fun.
Right.
So it gets a 4.2 tankards.
4.2 tankards. All right. I'm going to go next on the tankards, because this is a nostalgic game for mostly you, Moshi. So I'll say that I'm also going to give this... I'm actually going to give this a 4.5. So 4.5 tankards filled worth of good old drinking times. Because this may not have been drinking when I was 12, but I could tell you, if I was, this is the game that I'd want to be playing. So how do you feel about it, Moshi?
I would say that nostalgia-wise, I'd have to give it a 5. Definitely, like, just flat out. I love this game a lot. Going back and playing some of it, I'd probably also give it about a 4.5 now. It's still a great game, and it's plenty of, you know, stuff to do and whatnot, and I think that a lot of the systems hold up.
So for nostalgic for me, I'm going to give it a 4. Not a complete 5, so I'll just give it a 4. There is no nostalgia rating for you.
Yeah, I didn't play it before.
Now, I have a question, Moshi. What was the most jarring nostalgic part about the game when you turned it on and played
it? The music.
The music. So
the music just went off right off the bat.
That was the part that brought you back to 2004.
Oh, real quickly.
Okay, so this game
I could sit there and just listen to that for hours.
This game actually did win an award for its musical score. So I don't blame you on that, saying that was the first thing that pulled you in. For me, there are two things that pulled me in. It was having to pick up the experience orbs or letting them come to you by holding the button down.
Yep.
Or demon doors. The demon doors are nostalgic to me, too, because I completely forgot about the demon doors. And then when I saw it again, I was like, holy shit, I remember all of them. And I remember
the sad, crying one and the mean ones. All of them.
I remember all of those. So I'm glad that we were able to bring this episode to you. I'm so glad that you joined us, Moshiro.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to finally be a part of it. I've been listening to every single one.
Well,
I've been in the background, even.
Yeah. We appreciate that.
I played Deja Vu. That was really cool.
He has been playing some of the games.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he has been playing some of the games that we have played on the podcast. So that was really cool.
That's super cool.
Yeah. So again, we appreciate you listening and we appreciate having you. It might not be the last time that we have you. Maybe in another season or whatever, we might bring you back.
Do you listen naked? Sure. Like we record naked?
Well, I mean, hand on, you know. Yeah, of course.
Nice.
Yeah, now he has a party to go join. So we won't keep you much longer. We won't keep you much longer. Those old men can only dance for so long. So we're going to let you go join those guys.
Well, they have about 4 hours.
We paid for 4 hours, but they're probably going to last maybe a half an hour.
That's true.
Well, I mean, they got Viagra, right? That lasts about 4 hours.
That's what I was
thinking. No, because you're going to be making a lot of phone calls to the doctors if they still have erections in 4 hours.
We want to know how many made it to 4 hours. Send pictures.
On that note, you guys have a wonderful night. We appreciate you listening in. And if you listened to this entire episode, we're sorry that we bored you.
No, we're not. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was fantastic, actually. Yeah, you're right.
Fantastic guest, fantastic game.
I hated our guest.
What?
He was kind of a
dick. Aw, Kevin. Really?
I hated our guest.
Is Kevin going to do one of those?
Oh, shit, you're still here, Mo.
He's still there, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit, sorry, I got to get out of here.
Fuck. Go dance with those naked men. You guys have a wonderful night.
Bye.
Goodbye.